Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're your Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wa.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to Docu Sweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be remix style and almost like, was there a blip in the Matrix? Or it could be, just like, is this a dream and is this deja vu? Or it could be, this is uncharted territory and I'm terrified. But at the end of the day, hopefully something mildly sweet
and a sense of familiarity.
Hi, we are here talking about this dumb show called 90 Day Fiancé. Have you ever heard of it? This is season 10 of regular old 90 Day Fiancé. It's episode 19. It's the tell-all part one, honey. Tell-alls. We all know what a tell-all means, and they keep playing with the infrastructure. So kind of like, we're like, well, what's going to happen with this tell-all? Is it a live studio audience? When are they going to start recording? Is there like a peanut gallery of like, 90 Day Fiancé people that are going to comment like in life there randomly? I don't know. Some jury format, like who knows, you know, what it's going to be. Obviously Sean Robinson, always a tried and true part. But yeah, like, do you have any thoughts going in?
No, I was more so excited that we're at the end of this journey. Also, then when people started coming in, I was like, Oh, there was a theme. The producers sent out a memo that told all the women how to dress. And then I started to realize then there wasn't a memo, right? Because Nikki, Jasmine, and Ashley got the memo. And then Sophie's interpretation of the memo was quite downplayed. And but Rob got some kind of memo, right? Like about how to dress, because...
The memo is
hey guys, thank you for, we're here sending you tickets to New York City. You guys will be staying at the blah blah hotel. The dress code is going to be wear bright colors, wear a color that makes you pop on screen the same way we did in your confessionals. But for the some of you who have an elevated way of dressing, do it, whatever that means to you. And then some women were like, oh, that means dress like a housewife on a tell-all.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, like, it's so interesting. So when it first starts, it almost feels like a New York kind of aesthetic, like fashion aesthetic. I know, you know, like it's okay. So like, there's like the branding and Nikki coming out, and she does look fashion forward. She's like, you know, wearing a full situation, full outfit. Now I forgot to actually airdrop this earlier, and I can't now because I have to take my Wi-Fi off, but I will just show this screen. So she ends up wearing this dress that we know as the H&M Kendall Jenner, it's H&M and like Giambata dress. It's like that pink, obviously Barbie dress. And it came out in 2019. So, and it was like a whole, had an iconic moment. So like, having said that, she knows that, like, you know, like there's nothing that she didn't even pick that is that dress, you know, like it's just whatever, like, you know, just the,
she,
you know,
said,
pop culture.
Any fashions that anyone wore pre-pandemic, it's up for grabs now. Like, you can remake yourself and you can make it, you can bring it back after the pandemic.
Batista. Yeah.
Sorry. It just, that collaboration, that would be like me wearing my Fashion Nova Cardi B collection fur coat, which I had to give it away. All the best. But that would be like me busting that out, being like, she can still wear it. Pre-pandemic, doesn't count.
Yeah, absolutely.
She looks great. So
Manuel comes in a matching two-piece sweatshirt that I love. Like, it's a sweatshirt sweatsuit, and it has like tan and black components, like color blocks. I think it's so chic.
Yeah, I love Manuel. I think he's chic.
Jasmine comes as a mob wife. They all have like different aesthetics. They come in and then they change, of course, into their like outfits. Most of their outfits, as you've said, are like full gown. Like, some of the girls are doing gowns, like if they're in pageants, you know, like Nikki, Jasmine, Ashley are like, you know, like Miss Blobbity Blue, Miss Blobbity Blue. And we're just like, okay, here they come on the stage, you know, like for sure.
I loved it. And then we saw Devin, and I didn't know who that was. I said, who is so they look great, but she didn't look as scared, and she says that she isn't going to be as scared on this because she says that she saw the edit and she realizes how she ended up looking. I feel like she's the only person, they're the only two, because their episodes ended like episode 8 10 weeks ago. They're the only people who got to see their full show. Everybody else is somewhere in the middle of watching it in real time. So we have all that backstage chatter, all the girls saying, you look lovely, you look like this. We realize that Jasmine and Nikki have some kind of connection, that they talk outside of the show and that they like each other. Everyone is confused about Sophie's hair, and they're like, you look so different. And we're all like, she looks so much better. Why is everybody acting like the blonde was it? And then they're like, oh, well, what, you know, how did you feel about the blonde? And she's like, Rob wanted me to be blonde. And he's like, I never said that. And I'm like, you probably alluded to it, or you probably only look at pictures of big booty blondes.
Yeah. You know, like it's, you don't have to say things. You can non-verbally say things that are picked up on. And you can also say things like, just look how hot she is. Look how hot she is. Look how hot she is. She's hot. She's hot. She's hot. And guess what? They're all this, you know, whatever that is. Like, you know, that could be bigger boobed, you know, and then you're like, well, I guess he wants bigger boobs, you know, like, or bigger butt, Gino, or whatever the fuck it is. So,
Did you love Ashley saging everything?
I thought it was, you know, on brand for her. I thought that like part of her shtick was to come on and just do all of her like tarot card stuff, because she, you know, like, that's a business for her. You know, this is a world in which if I could do live tarot card readings over Zoom for people and make, let's just say, 200 to 300 per session, that's like lawyer money. I mean,
so right? You would do it? You would do it though?
If I had the gift.
Does anyone have the gift? Is it a gift, or are you just
what?
Super charismatic and vague.
Here's the thing about tarot. The funny thing about, listen, come for me if you want. And I've gotten my tarot card read. I think that there are certain people that have intuitive gifts for sure, right? But I also don't, tarot to me also is interesting because there's also, you're right, an interpretation of, there are cards. They mean this. If it's upside down, they mean that. This person's in front of you. It could mean this for them. All you're doing is looking at cards that you've drawn or that person's drawn and giving them an interpretation of what the cards say. So truthfully, tarot is almost the most like literary. It's almost like reading comprehension in this way. You're kind of like bringing this person like, well, this is what this says. Like, if you just memorize a tarot deck, wouldn't you be able to like also tell them what they say? Like, you would pull up the cards and be like, oh yeah, it's the upside down Queen of Hearts.
It's so verbose and vague at the same time that I hate it. It's like, you're not telling me really anything insightful. You're just kind of double downing on things that I already knew, or that I, you know, it was like, oh, there's something happening on the horizon. Like, you could say that for me. And I don't think at any point in my life will there ever not be something happening on the horizon. And you could just get that from my spirit, you know. But anyways, I get you. So we then go to Clayton. Clayton and Annalie enter the backstage space, and he gets on defense because everybody asks, not everybody, Jasmine's like, what about Closet Mom? And then he's like, well, you know, she put herself in a situation where she moved into my home and there was no other places for her to sleep besides the closet, which is so anti like anything that Jasmine has ever known as a cultural expectation. Right. Any foreigner who is like, maybe not, I don't even know, because I feel like Natalie let and her mom sleep in the same bed. So I just don't, I don't know what I can say, maybe besides it's very American, but the fact that he thought that that was a reasonable answer to say, he could have just said she likes it in there. She
wanted it.
She wanted it. She was adamant that she didn't want me to give up my bed. And then, you know, we had talked about certain, you know, items or certain arrangements we could make. And then initially she was only supposed to be there for a month and a half. So she was really sleeping out on the couch and just using that space as X, Y, and Z. But then it turned into more than a year, like something besides the fact, well, like, what was I supposed to do? And then they've moved now to Tulsa, Oklahoma, taking her even further away from anything slightly like herself. And the mom lives with them in Tulsa.
That part. Now, I have been adamant that they never even had a conversation. Can you believe that? To this moment, in episode 19 of this docuseries about a relationship, that they introduced Closet Mom episode one or two, whatever, that these people have never, and they speak the same language. There's two languages to speak if they want to. Never talk about whether that mom's going to be with them forever. Never, like, it's just so interesting that they are like have gleaned onto his sister being a source of contention, or the stripper being a source of contention, or him asking questions being, I mean, her not telling her dad is a source of contention for sure. But like, because it's like, that's how important parents are. We are in like, it feels like the producers not know that they have gold in Closet Mom. Like, I don't understand. We've talked about that. Like, you sometimes, I so badly want to be like a consulting producer for the whole franchise, to be like, no. Go back there and film a conversation where these two adult people talk about their future and whether it involves the beauty and treasure of Closet Mom that we already have. Go film that. Like, I would make a decree. I mean, like, I would, like, I think that I'd be like a really good TV executive, and I think that I wouldn't be like overbearing or pushy or mean in some way. But in these moments, if they were like, oh, I don't think it's important, I'd be like, the fuck you think I'm talking? What language am I talking? Get Google Translate. And when I say you go film a goddamn scene about Closet Mom to see if this woman's going to have her life with Closet Mom, and then watch her face as it's either see or no, have them talk about love or dad, and you fucking film it. And I would be like, I mean, I would get Emmys.
Yeah, so many Emmys. So many Emmys, Chris. I'm here for it. I love that visionary for you. I want to speak it into existence for yourself. So then somebody comes out and says, hey, there is it's time to get on set. So they all go and they sit on set, and Justin sees Nikki and he's like, what's a bird? He thought that, I mean, maybe he said that under his breath and he didn't think it'd be caught, or maybe he thought it was actually funny to say, but I'm like, you know this person, so you, why wouldn't you think that she would be dressed like that? And then he's like, Nikki, hun, can you see me? Or can you look at me? Oh, what if I do this? Is that looking at you? Nikki. Hi. Can you hear me, Nikki? No,
just stop.
Hi.
No one fucking cares. You're dumb.
Do you need to look? Okay. Ha ha ha. You look very nice.
Hey, Jasmine.
So happy to be here.
Ugh, shut up.
So you know? Then Shawn Robinson comes out and she, okay, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a fashion trend that I was not tracking, even though I do attempt to track fashion trends. It's a thing now to have that leg out. That leg is out. Everyone's leg, if they can have a leg out, the leg is out. Let me tell you, Shawn Robinson, she will not be left behind. Okay. Mm-hmm. 54-year-old Shawn Robinson is going to have her leg out. And she did. It was a beautiful orange dress. And she came out and she sat down and I said, I like it.
She is like, hey guys, I'm Sean. Nice to meet you. All right, let's start this thing. Like, you know, like that was, I didn't think it's so interesting because it's like, you know, there's so many ways you could have done that. If they're all getting ready in this room, they're all having a moment. It's just interesting that Sean, you didn't have, you, yeah, there was definitely not a moment for Sean to peek in and be like, hey guys, I'm Sean. We're about to like film this. I hope that you guys have a great time. I'm going to go do my last looks, but I'll see you out there. Like that didn't happen, obviously, you know, like it's just like, you guys do not fucking call me to set until every one of those asses are in a seat and I will be the last one there. And it almost, is it like, I want to know if this is how Sean is behaving now because she's had to put through, been put through so much shit with like Angela and stuff like that, like over the years. Like think about Sean, like having to sit there and be like, the fuck, like, you know, like I'm a professional, Angela's just running around. Like, I feel like there must be parts of her contract. She's like, if you're, I'm going to keep doing this, I do the minimal and I am not like, you know, whatever, just like taken advantage of, which is LOL. Good for her.
I mean, I really wish that they would give it to a cast member. I know we talked about the last time, but
us. Okay. Yeah, that's just so funny to me. But yeah, like he, that's really funny. I also,
I called it. Sam and Citra are pregnant.
Yeah.
I called that shit. Mm-hmm. And so Sophie and Mike, or no, Rob, whatever his name is, moved to Austin for better cost of living and more young, vibrant folk. I mean, listen, Californians move to Texas very often because of that, right? It's either Texas or Florida. Texas is closer.
Yeah.
Rob, they go back to Rob's internet cheating and somebody asks him if he's ever done it and he's like silent with it. And it was a weird like edit where they try to show that him making a long pause and he's like, mm-mm. He doesn't say, no, I haven't done it emphatically. He's like, mm-mm, haven't, which makes him sound guilty. Mm-hmm. And then Igor, like it's just so interesting. I think I gave him a, not credit, but I just thought that he was more, liberal is a weird word. I don't want to say that because that's assuming that liberals are more this. Okay, because you can have liberals who are horrible. Okay, I assume that he was more
sensitive
with the times. Yeah, or like modern. Yes, progressive. Like I just assumed he was to a certain extent. Even though his commentary in Moldova with his friend about Nikki and the way she behaves versus like men and women energy, like I don't believe in that shit, whatever. But like he then says that he doubles down and like supports Rob. And I feel like Rob should not have agreed with Igor if he did. But he doubles down and he's like, no, you sending a letter to some, or a note on social media or the internet to someone who's sending you sexy pictures, it's not personal. Like, especially when your lover isn't there, when your partner's not there, it's just like VR. It's just like masturbating. It's just like any type of realistic porn scenario that isn't real. And I'm just like, no. And I wanted to be like, what are Gino and Rob, what are their faces like when he's saying these like things that even if that's what you believe, your partner isn't okay with it. So why are you doubling down?
Yeah, I mean, here's the horrible truth. There's a huge difference between watching porn and in the 2024, as we get into Apple Vision Pros, who knows what watching or experiencing porn will be like as we move into the next future, and interacting with a person to either get off or get materials. And interacting with a person online means that you are interacting with a person to get off and or get materials to feel some way. And that is an exchange that doesn't feel as like an exchange as much as porn. Now, I don't even know, saying that now, who knows? When I keep saying the future, it's like AI and robots. Like, you know, like, let me ask you this. Would you be upset if you were dating or if you were with someone and that person reached out to a real life person like on Instagram and asked for a masturbation video and then replied with one back? Quick questions. Yes or no?
Would I be upset?
Yeah.
Yes. Do I know though? Like, no, yes, I'd be upset. Period. Go ahead.
Okay. So then would you be upset if your loved one person watched porn?
No.
Would you be upset if they had a VR set and had a 3D experience that is like porn with something like that?
No.
Would you be upset if they had a sex robot?
What's a sex robot?
Like a...
I know what a sex doll is. Sorry, hold on. Okay. I know what a sex doll is. Okay. And a sex robot to me is a square machine that has like a dildo attached to it that's just moving this way and that way. So I would just like to know from the mind of Chris Farah, what is a sex machine? That's it. Okay. That's it. Tell me.
Okay. It's a real doll that can also...
Okay, so it's like we're in the future. You're talking about like Megan or like an AI actual doll.
Yeah. Whose vagina, if it's a vagina, if it has a vagina, quakes.
Okay.
Whose mouth?
Okay.
Can you imagine what I just look like to? I'm so sorry.
I know what you're saying, but is my partner like a sex addict and I'm unable to keep up with them? If the answer is yes.
No, here's the thing. They want you, but they also love this experience with this other thing.
Okay, I think I would be okay with it if it wasn't in my home and he had like scheduled times to do that where it didn't interrupt our interaction.
Where did it live?
I don't know.
Is it like a hotel, or
he takes it to, I don't know, maybe we're rich and we have another home or he like, I'm just being honest with you. Like,
I'm so happy you are.
If my significant other needed more than what I was planning on giving, but they still gave me what I needed and they still paid for everything, then I would be okay with it. Like you have to communicate that to me. That this is what you need, because the idea of having, it's not the fact that this entity looks different than me or whatever. It's the fact that this entity gives you something like a kink, like I have a kink for AI. Then I'm like, okay, I just don't ever want to see it because I don't want to know what it looks like. And I don't want to have to be involved in that. It's the same thing if my significant other wanted to have relationships outside of the marriage. At least they told me, but they were still taking care of me and like, you know, being everything I needed them to be. So that's the caveat. It can't just be like,
oh yeah, that's why you're okay with certain infidelity if it's communicated right and you're being taken care of. And that's why.
Yes.
But, okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, get back to this dumb show. No, we want to talk about this dumb show.
I mean, okay. So then we have a situation where Claire comes in. That's Sophie's mother. Mm-hmm. And Rob really wants Sophie to take his side. Mm-hmm. And I think that I can understand that, but I think it's interesting if it were to happen over her mother. Now, if the tables were turned and it was his mother and Sophie didn't get along, I would be all 100% on train. Rob, take care of your wife. And it's not sitting well with me that I have a double standard when it comes to them. I am like, if it were Rob doing that to his mother and Sophie felt like Rob support me, be, you know, defend me when your mom is talking shit about me, then I would be like, no, Rob, you're absolutely wrong. Defend your wife. But in this case, I don't think that Sophie is wrong for not getting herself in between Rob and her mother. And I know that's a double standard and I'm trying to like reconcile that. But I don't know how it'd feel if it were just his dad and Sophie getting into an argument. I don't know. Would I be like, well, that's his dad. He's got to still be on his dad's side. I don't know. But Rob says that it's really hurtful that Claire called him a knob and that everyone's calling him a knob now and he hates it. And I just was like, boo hoo, baby, get a job, get a fucking job and take care. Like he wants so much credit for everything that he's done. And I'm like, no, it's the bare minimum that you've done. You've not even done the bare minimum is have a space for her to live in with the bathroom attached. Like that was the bare minimum and you did not do that. So like, I have a hard time being on his side just because I think he needs to man up and he just thinks he needs to man up. And then he's like, well, what about you? You've had men in and out of your house and, you know, inviting them in. And
you've never had a job. Like,
Okay. So my dad takes care of me. Like, I want to know what, which is true, but like, I just don't know. I don't think it's in his place to say that to her. Like, it'd be one thing if he were Claire's significant other and he was like, And Claire was demanding things on him. And he felt like, listen, Claire, like, I get it that you want all this from me, but this is who I am. I'm never going to make as much money as your dad. I'm never going to provide the lifestyle you want. So you need to either accept that. But I just feel like it's weird for Rob to say that, because that feels like something that Sophie told him in somewhat confidence, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think that Claire slipped up when because she kept saying, you're not a man. You're not a real man. You're not. And I think that it's a fucked up thing to say. It's always fucked up to say you're not a real man or you're not a real woman for a billion things. You know, you could be like, that's a bunch of toxic, you know, stuff of like, you're not a real man if you cry, or you're not a real man. You know, listen, we want in most heterosexual situations, you know, like a man to, you know, not most, but because really it's not, but like, you know, but I think that is obviously old fashioned, you know, gender roles and older generational people will kind of want in heterosexual relationships, the man to be protector provider type. So we are, what she is saying is you didn't protect and provide for my daughter. And mm-hmm. I think that that is a basic level of what your responsibility is in a relationship. I don't think you did it by, you could have done more. Now, what's interesting again is that Rob says in his diatribe that he had not one but two jobs. When he lost a job, he still had a job. Will he tell us what the jobs are? No. Have we ever seen him not once the entire docuseries go to a job, mention work, say he has to do this? Is a responsibility? Is he going to a job interview? Is he making a resume? Is he going to Kinko's? Not nothing. So, like, you know, there's a... Is there a world in which Rob is mad at the editors being like, why didn't you show them me knocking on the restaurant doors that have all been closed because of COVID to try and get a host position? Like, I have no idea, you know, if he's just like, I'm a commercial agent, that person dropped me, you know, like, spell it out for us if it's that fucking hard. And at the same time, be like, and I drive for Uber. Okay, you know, like, also DoorDash or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, but he feels like he doesn't owe anybody any kind of explanation. So
and
that's
the mother of the person you're, and the truth is, the mother of your 10, I think, like, what's their age gap? At least 8 years?
10 years, yeah.
The mother of your, like, younger SO does get to have a sense of comfort and relief if you want that person to like you. And if you don't care, then you don't care. And he doesn't really care. He's kind of at the generation of feeling like he doesn't have to prove anything. He's already good enough. This person should be lucky. He feels that way. It's, you know, like, whether it's because Sophie's from England and he thinks he's hot, or who, I don't understand it, but, you know, he comes off with, I shouldn't have to prove anything.
Yep. Yep. And Jasmine calls it out in a way that I loved when she was like, I'm so tired of these American people believing that the foreigner needs to be eternally grateful for bringing them to the US. Like, you knew what the K-1 visa process is before you signed up. And you should have known. Like, here's the truth. There is a Google and there are Reddits and there are, like, spaces where you can get this information. So I love Jasmine for saying that. I love that Jasmine has a lot of things to say in all tell-alls, even though, like, she is the worst. Okay. So then they all go to break for lunch. And I'm just like, wow, they broke for lunch. So how long was that entire segment before they had to chop it up into bits? Okay.
Yeah, it didn't feel like
short.
They had been like 45 minutes talking and Sean was like, I got it. I got enough. Call lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So then they all talk about Sophie and Rob and the support of it. And like, you know, Sophie's basically like, I'm sick of Rob in the way he's behaving about whatever thing. And I already told him that if he doesn't get it together, I'm out. And he's like walking in and then he's like, well, great for you to support me, or some shit that he says under his breath all the time. And it's just like,
oh, it's so nice to hear you support your mom so much. Like, something like that. Where,
yeah. And I'm just like, Rob, you think you're Chris Brown in this fantasy world of, like, these hoes ain't loyal. Like, it's just like this idea of loyalty is loyalty doesn't mean putting up with your inadequacies. Okay. It means understanding them and supporting you through them, but not just full blanket, like, no, nothing is wrong. Now, again, I do think that it goes back to something that we've said before, could this be that Sophie's mother doesn't really respect Sophie and Sophie's choices, and that's the reason why she's saying the things that she's saying about Rob?
Sophie's choice, this? Sorry, I love you. that dumb movie.
I'm my sorry. Teacher, listen, let me tell you a story about that. I had never heard of that fucking movie ever in my life. Not even an inkling of it. Okay. Schindler's List. Yes. Okay. All okay. And then I'm in theater class and my teacher, my theater and high school teacher, she's like, yeah, there's this movie called Sophie's Choice. And like, you know, you read it and I mean, you watch it and like Meryl Streep, it's just so heartbroken. And I'm like, it's like, I don't know if it's just like the Jewish Color Purple, where it's just like this movie that everyone has seen in that community. And then you hear so many things about it and you go and watch it and you're like, wow, yes, that's a terrible choice.
No, it's a generational thing. We are too young, obviously, to have watched that movie, Kramer versus Kramer. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't watch Kramer versus Kramer. Like, the best movie this movie I still think about, and I feel like it's the pinnacle of when I first started being cognizant. And so I was really young, but remember how good War of the Roses was? War of the Roses is much before Color Purple. Like, you know, I'm just trying to think of like the first movie.
Is it before? Is it from the 70s? Color Purple came out in 82.
Color Purple came out in 82?
Wasn't that a great year?
Oh, I thought it came out during my lifetime when I was older.
No. That is just the arc of like how long it's been relevant in this. Yeah, so.
I thought it came out in the 90s, 100%. For some reason.
It's 82. Same thing with like Star Wars.
It looks like 90s. Like it doesn't look like, it doesn't look dated in the 80s to me.
I think the costumers did a really good job because it takes place in the 1900s.
You're right. That's because it's a period film. It's a period film. So it doesn't look like an 80s film.
Yeah. It takes place from like 1908 to like 1930 something. But anyway, War of the Roses is a fantastic, and I tried to get it and they want to charge me $1 million for it to watch it on TV. But I was like, I will sit down and just watch it. But also
War of the Roses. Yeah. It's so good. Sorry, right.
War of the Roses is so good. So anyways,
they should, I'm surprised I haven't redone it yet. And I'm like, there has to have already been like tries to redo it. It's too good of a movie. And you would have all you would need is like two powerhouse actors.
Okay, let's cast it right now. Who would be cast in War of the
Roses? First of all, obviously,
Michael Douglas and
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Yeah. But let's think of more modern actors. Like, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are 90s actors. They're old now.
Completely. But they have to be older people because they've already been married.
Michael Douglas. And whatever her name was, I can't remember who it was. Is it
Kathleen Turner?
It's not Murphy Brown. Okay, great. Kathleen Turner. well, sometimes I get Murphy Brown and Kathleen Turner mixed
up.
Aren't
they 40s, 50s when this happened? I mean, again, I watched
No. They are not. They're young. It's just that when we were young, they were all old to us. That's what it is. They were like in their late 20s, early 30s when they shot that.
What?
Okay, look it up.
What? No, because they have wealth. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, they had all that wealth. What world are they like 28 being like, well, let's have a horrible breakup, but let's break up our whole family and all this wealth?
Well, because it's like the 80s. And Kathleen Turner. I mean, God, I just saw a picture of Michael Douglas. That man, it looks like
it came out in 1989. Oh my God, I thought it came out before. Fucking, that's crazy. I'm so wrong.
Oh my God. She's born in 54. What time? When did it come out?
89.
54, 64, 74, 84. Okay. Yeah. She was in her mid 30s. 34, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She was 35.
I picked them because they had a horrible breakup. They were also Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So just to watch them now like hate each other would be just like, unfortunately, it would make the most money in the
and
whole
he
world.
And he was 40. He was 45. She was 35 and he was 45. So we would need to pick who do we pick? Okay. Bradley Cooper for the 45-year-old man. No,
I don't like him enough.
Okay, Bradley Cooper, and then who's the woman? Gaga, done. a proven couple, and the star is born, and then they do War of the Roses. Yeah, Bradley and Gaga.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So You want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Okay, how about... Okay, it's unfortunate because I keep going 10 years ahead. Like, I'm just like, my dream come true would be like Kate Winslet. And like George Clooney.
Okay.
Okay, that's like they're you know, okay, so let's just,
I mean, they're still, this is like old, like you're making them
40. I'm aging myself. Okay, so Jesus. Okay, like Tom Hardy,
he's too short.
Okay, like Jason Momoa. From one to another, from one extreme to another.
I know.
Okay, you said, I know, you give me a direction. Here's the thing, I like, I'm very extreme, black and white. If you like, if you're, I'm on such a pendulum, you know, I'm like, okay.
I know, Bradley Cooper and Gaga.
I'm just kidding.
Bradley Cooper and Cooper and Gaga, I don't know, unmatched. Let's come back to it. Okay.
Okay. Oh, no, we're talking about this dumb show. I keep forgetting. Okay.
So then we have Ashley Emanuel.
Oh, Sex Wait, Magic.
They go you back on sex stage. Magic? No.
Oh.
Tell us about the time you did Sex Magic.
No, I just like, you sometimes, you know, just that, you know, you've never even like masturbated and been like, I'm putting this energy in the universe for this reason.
No, I've never even heard of that.
Oh yeah, you can masturbate, think of someone, and like send your orgasm energy into the universe.
Oh,
anyway, so
ever
he's
since,
like, yeah, I don't want, you know,
ever since my surgery, yeah, I'll talk, that's a
you don't want to talk about private things?
That's a Patreon exclusive. Anywho, so yes. So they have the sex magic and they talk, she talks about like a candle and semen and burning it, which is like the most disgusting thing. I don't want to hear that. I don't want, like, you don't need to say that publicly. That's what all I've said. Like, if I read it in a book, I'd be like,
okay. Pop.
I'd be like, oh.
I didn't know. This is so gross. I'm so sorry. I didn't know if it was like she, because it was like, she's like, get a candle and then dip it. And then like, you're not gonna dip this. Like, would you get like one of those little like diffuser things that are like, you know, you get the, it has a little like bowl in it and you put this, you put like a candle underneath the bowl. It warms it from the bottom. And then like, you know, the diffuser oils like go into the universe. Like that, I understand. Like, would you then put semen in there and like burn it and then just like, put, you know, but like,
oh my God, the Christians are mad that you want to burn semen right now. That far right.
I'm not burning it. You're right. I don't know. You know, honey, I don't tell you. They're mad at a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. So then they ask him about it, and he's like, I don't want to talk about private things, which is like, you know, that tracks for him. And so Ashley and her mother, Ashley's mother and sister come out, Sienna, who looks completely different than what I recall her looking like, one, two. Them braids, that mother's braids, like that person, I listen. Mm-mm. Okay, those were some 1989 braids where they just snatched the baby hairs and some of the hair from your eyebrows to put into those braids. I mean, it was like she just got her hair done. I could feel the tightness. I don't know how they could even sit up there and cry. That's how they both were, why they both were sitting so erect, because their scalps were on fire. I mean, it was so tight. It was just like, no. You need to leave out hair. Don't grab that. Like when I hear, see the, no, don't grab it. Mm-mm, you don't need it. Like, oh God, I was just stressed. It was just like all of my childhood nightmares with that hair.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
But anyways, so thank you. Thank you for understanding. So mother comes in hot. She's like, I don't even want any grandkids from them. Like not in the way that he treated his family. I had no idea about that. I didn't know. And so then Manuel, instead of being like, Rob, God, this is just a study in how to treat, you know, people who don't like you, in-laws who are mad at you. So he just lets her get out her piece. And Ashley's like, but it's not that. And they're like, yes, it is, Ashley. And she's just like, well, this is why it happened. Like, Manuel was supposed to be get 6 weeks to be able to come to the U.S., but something happened in the paperwork. And so all of a sudden it was 2 weeks. So his kids knew he was coming to the U.S. They just didn't know when he was coming. And so we had to quickly get him out. It's like they smuggled him out in the dead of the night or something. And then he still is not going to get provide any insight. He's like, listen, that's just the way I did it. I don't like hard goodbyes. They knew I was going, so it's not like I didn't tell them at all. So, but the mother is like, that's not right. Like the way that you just upped and left and you keep a lot of secrets. And now I'm having to supplement your guys' life because we don't give your family enough money for them to live. And, you know, I don't want to think anything negatively of Manuel and Ashley, but part of the reason of doing this show, they don't make a lot of money, but I'm pretty sure they make like $1,500 an episode. That's word on the street, is that the cast members will make that. And then after that, she can, just like you said earlier, Chris, like she could charge for her services to all these people, cameos, like they have such an opportunity to make so much money from this process. And so they just have to wait, and they're going to be on HEA too. Like, I just really hope that they're, you know, able to kind of right those wrongs and the mother sees them in a good light. I think they're just tired of Ashley complaining. Like, that's what it is. She complains to them because those are her people and they love her, but they're tired of her complaining. And then they're like, well, you should have thought about this. And Ashley's like, well, how was I supposed to know about taking care of children with their financial need and I don't have children? And I was like, no, girl, you're too dumb. Don't say that. That's a dumb thing to say. You're an adult and you know this man has two kids.
You can't be like, I don't have kids, how would I know? I'm like, but you literally just got done saying how you knew that he had two children.
Yeah.
So you are a grown-ass person and you understand two become one, meaning if you are sharing your life with someone, that person's life also exists in this world. I mean, like, sometimes Ashley can be like a little domineering, a little about what she wants too. That was a very immature thing she said to her mom. And her mom, you can kind of watch her mom's face be like, the fuck you just said? It's so dumb. You sound dumb. Like you could tell her mom was like, got it.
That's dumb.
But yeah.
Then Jasmine comes in and she explains, like, from his culture, she says he's probably been taking care of the family since he was really young. And then just idea of just kind of walking away is completely different. And, you know, it's hard for someone to see all the excess we have in this country, you know, because he's used to having to, there's always some struggle. It's never just like, oh, I went and got that. And so he's frustrated at the blatant, you know, overspendingure, especially on something as silly as coffee, right? When you can make coffee at home and you have a coffee machine. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely get that. There is, you know, he doesn't like to see that excess. And he's like, you could be taking that money and saving it away. Like we could live leaner and have money for my family. And it's weird that that's not what your normal, that's not what your, you know, thing is to do. And then for some reason, that got through to Ashley's mother. And she's like, oh, my God, I had no idea. That brings a different perspective. And then Manuel, like, reaches out his hand and they, like, hold hands. It's just like this really, we just saw this arc of her coming out like, I don't want any grandkids from this loser, to like, oh, my son-in-law, mi suerto. I think that's the word. Maybe I'm wrong. And like, you know, all of this. And so I thought that was really nice, but it was just so interesting to see the family really cares about them. And I hope that we don't get any, I hope they don't turn into the family Chantel. I think that's what I'm just really scared about.
Oh yeah. No, they think, yeah, I don't think so, but I did feel like her sudden reversal was a little interesting, especially from something Jasmine said, but God bless. Then we have a weird part where this doesn't always happen, but Sean's like, let's go to audience questions. We've had some audience questions. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure you fucking have. You're a huge series. Are you just getting these from tweets? I mean, literally there's a billion. I mean, of course. So.
And they got a British couple.
There's a weird video question to Clayton. The first question is a dumb question, I think, to Sophie, which is, hey, Sophie, how do you turn off being bi when you're in a relationship? As if Okay, so the concept is this person's like, well, when you're bi, you want to be with both a man and a female at times. And when you're with one, you're constantly craving the touch of another. And certain and people only live in, as Sophie's age, in one gender-specific situation. So this makes sense. It doesn't make any sense to me because we are all looking for either a relationship with many people or one person. So that's across the board, regardless of what you're into. And if you are into one person, then that's what you're into. I mean, you know, you could be straight and heterosexual and monogamous, and also, of course, be in a relationship and, you know, want to be with someone else, regardless if you're not bi. So that this is the dumbest question that feels like a question that would be like, you know, like ask in a teen forum or something. So I just can't believe that the producers even gave it like likes. I just felt like it was just like an asinine, ignorant question. So sorry. Then the next question is all you see is a couple with a baby and voices that you're like, what am I hearing? Because yes, they are British, but when you have them on video chat, the entire process looked like AI. And I'm like, is this a real couple? Is this a real couple? That's all I mean, want to say about that.
It was just so weird. And their question was something about eating guinea pigs. And so they had a whole like little like ha 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 about her wanting to eat his guinea pigs. And then Ashley says that she had a guinea pig. And it was just like, it was weird that what else questions were asked where like that was the one who made it, right? Like, I know they didn't just get three people. Like they probably tried to like see what the better answers were, but that was just so fun for them. Then the next thing was who would you rather have kids with in the 90-day universe? And I was like, that's dumb too. This is a show about love. You can't be on the show as a partnered up person talking about, yeah, I would love to have a kid with Emily's husband, who's from, you know, Cameroon or whatever. Like, why would you say that? So Jasmine picks the smart thing and she's like, Nikki, because they like each other and they are having a good time. And so, and they've already like alluded to the fact that in the beginning they would love to be together because Jasmine says that she's bisexual, but doesn't say it. She just says, I am attracted to women as well as men. And I think Nikki's beautiful and whatnot. And I was like, okay, that's cute.
That's how you know Sean has never seen the show. Because if we had been there in the moment and Jasmine's like, oh, I'm bi, we also would have known that on the series is another bi lady right over there. But Sean did not know that at that time until she read this Sophie card. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Why not connect the dots?
The thing about Sean is that she doesn't watch the show. She doesn't like the show. So she's not able to, in the moment, make any sort of connection and on the fly ask any sort of question that might arise or make a connection based upon this. All she can do is in a very professional way read off a card or hear something and then ask the question. Like, that's what she can do very well. You know what I'm saying? It's just a different vibe.
It's so crazy because I feel like the last time she was truly keyed into a season was David and Annie's like first or second season. Like, I think like that is when the last time I truly remember her being like, well, David, didn't you say that such and such, like, you know, or maybe Andre and Libby, like she comes alive when she talks about them. Okay. So
please, just if you're listening to this, please just write wherever you are to Matt Sharp and have Wahama and Chris Farah from DocuSweeties host the tell-alls. That's all I'm asking for you. It's a big ask, but can you? Okay, that's great. Go ahead.
They talk about Jasmine's surgeries and they try to go and talk about Dane. And then like Sam tries to say that it's really fishy that Dane has given her something for nothing. And I was like, oh God, that's gross. I mean, even though it might be true.
A person like you, Sam, would think that way. But with Dan, he has a lot of high morals and high values. So he will give me money for my book.
You know, like, you're like, what? But also, it's like, are you saying a person like you, Sam, because what? He's white trash and a bit on drugs?
Yeah, poor. Just poor. Yeah, no, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. The reason why you don't understand that, no neck, no chin, is because
You're poor?
You're poor. And so you don't know what it's like to have just so much money because you're living, you live half of your life in Panama that like you could just give me $2,000. I was like, Sam, I thought the same thing too. I was like, Sam, $2,000 is not a lot of money for Dane. Dan.
I love that he has high morals though and high values, which is why his high value in his bank account. You know, I'm just like, what? You know, like, you know, Jasmine, come on.
She does want her butt done again, which I think it needs to be deflated. It's bad. It looks bad.
When Gino was like, I like it bigger. Then I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Like, I think that Jasmine gets lambasted. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. For wanting to look a certain way and being a certain way and like, and Gino should pay for, you know, shouldn't have to pay for it and everything like that. But I want you to know, if you're hearing my voice, it's because Gino wants it, asks her to and pays for thing and likes it. Like she knows that he had a stripper ex. She knows what his exes look like. Gino likes it aesthetic. Gino's gross. All of this, he's awkward. He doesn't understand female sexuality. He feels less than in life. So for him, he needs to have our cartoonishly hot woman next to him just to make him feel like moderately okay walking God's green earth. And we know that. And that's why we give him grace, because it takes all kinds to make a world. But at the same time, it's not her fault she looks that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, of course, it's her responsibility, but at the same time, it isn't like he's being like, I'd love her just the same. Like, nope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That voice you just did was like a cross up between like Miss Debbie and Miss Debbie, the two Debbies. It was like you were, what's his name? Clint? Larissa's ex-man, his mother, the one who moved to Canada to be with Santa Claus, and then Miss Debbie, the two Debbies. You just did their voices together. It was like amazing. Okay, so then we talk about the lipstick in the truck for 6 years, which is so crazy. He just doesn't know where it came from. Maybe his like one of his cousins he was ferrying around left it.
Can I also say that no one's gonna be like, okay, so she's like, I've never cleaned this car. It's never gone to a person to clean. You've never looked underneath. You never vacuumed. Not enough.
I believe it.
Never.
I believe it. I believe that every door handle, every seat is, it has like a light layer of dirt on it. Like it's just disgusting. I believe it. Look at his home. And so then Clayton, she gets angry at him and starts to get like yelly. Like she hasn't done in a while, at least that we've seen. And then he's like, see, this is why it affects my performance with her. You see this? My dick can't get hard with this. And then she's pissed. So Clayton laughs and he's like, you should have spent some of that money on anger management. And I was like, sick burn, Clayton. And that's exactly why the producers put it in, because they want us to be like, oh God, he's dumb. Look at his dumb comment. And they show the pictures of the bachelor or video of the bachelor party, Gino's bachelor party. And I mean, Jasmine can't handle it. Like she starts to yell and gets very upset. And then they were like, well, we have someone who would like to talk about this situation, a stripper from that night. Daisy, hi, you're on the air. Can you tell us what it was like with Gino? And she's like, yeah, it was really awkward because he seemed like he didn't want to be there. Like he seemed like he just wanted to. And then Jasmine goes off and we don't say bye to Debbie. We don't hear it. Daisy, we don't hear anything else from Daisy. Daisy gets disconnected because she's like, I would have never married you. Jasmine says this, I would have never married you if you had behaved this way. And he's like, I don't think I did anything wrong. I don't think I did anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with this. Normal in the U.S. to go to a strip club. And we then find out, and I don't know if I heard this in a fever dream, but apparently Gino's ex was a stripper too.
Yeah, it's interesting because now there's a couple of things. There's his ex-wife who looks like this person.
Oh.
So I don't know if she's not the
stripper. She's the stripper?
I think that she's the one that...
She's Brazilian, but I thought she was the stripper too.
I think there's also a blonde lady, and I think the blonde lady was the one that actually sent, I don't know, this is confusing, Jasmine all of the bad things. Okay, this is her, the alleged ex-girlfriend, is this person. Who I think obviously is a stripper.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So her name is Lindsay with, I mean, it's spelled L-I-N-C-Y-E-E.
Oh, oh no.
Bye. Bye. I'll see you later. Bye. You know who has the fakest titties, the hardballiest titties, you know, like she is, you know, I mean, this is why I, you know, Gino is gross.
Yeah,
obviously.
That so, means more than one reason. It's more than one reason. He's just a gross man.
Nikki tries to help Jasmine. You know, they're BFF besties. They're Victorian sleepover sisters. You know.
Yeah, she's a wailing. I mean, like, till you wail away. You know what I mean? She's like, she's
wail away, wail away, wail away.
Like, just so many, like, it's crazy. Okay, so that's the end of this episode. Next episode, we're going to get some other interesting things. We haven't gotten to Sam and Citra really yet. We haven't gotten to a lot of Anna Lee and Clayton. So, and we didn't get to Nikki and Justin, really. So we're going to come back to that next episode. I hope it's only two parts. But if you guys want to see the visuals of what you're listening to, please join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. You get exclusive content, such as a live every first Monday of the month, which is coming up. Tamir. So the Patreon will get a link within the next coming hours. But if you can't do that, Chris will tell you how you can support us para gratis.
Please go to our Instagram at DocuSweeties and like and follow all of our things. Also, we are on X at DocuSweeties1. We have a TikTok at DocuSweeties. We have a Facebook group, the DocuSweeties Podcast Facebook group. But mostly also just like share our videos. That would be great on either social medias or Reddit or forums like that you like. Also, yeah, I really need you to like make a campaign for us to host a new tell-alls because at least we know what would be happening. And so if people say things, we can in the moment ask questions. Also, we'll ask the hard and better questions like Clayton. Did you ever think to ask Anna Lee? And Anna Lee, do you even care to know if your whole life will be living with his mom? Like, is that a, is it a moot point? Is it, do I, does it only matter to me? And that's why I care. Just a quick question on both of you. You know, anyway, so we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Bye.
Bye.